Now, every culture has values and norms. Every culture has values and norms. And these values tend to shape what goes around. They shape how business is conducted. They shape how visitors are treated and things like that. And one of those aspects of a culture is how children are raised in a community. You find that culture and values has a way of influencing how children are raised in a community. Now, when it comes to raising children in the African context, part of the narrative is that kids are to be seen and not to be heard. Children are there to be observed, and they have nothing to say about what goes on around them and to them. So when we have youth programs, we tend to tell them what they need without hearing what they actually need. And this culture is so entrenched to such a degree that parents fail to relate with their adult children. They still see them as kids. And whenever they address you like Abantwana, they don't see you as an older person who is married, who has his own kids or her own kids. They still see you as a pikinini. They still think that you must just say yes, yes, yes to everything that they say. And the day that you say, "Ma, that's not how I want to raise my kids," that mother might have issues with what you're saying. Now, this is very important for us to just think about a little bit this morning. Now, this morning, I want to kickstart another aspect of our series. We've been going through a series titled Managing Life in a Chaotic World. And it has been, you know, this Managing Life series. And I'm just believing that God is doing a deep work in the church in just planting principles and wisdom. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject matter, raising kids God's way. Raising kids God's way. Please lift your hands if you've got children. The majority of us, praise the Lord, so I'm in the right company. Glory be to God. Please raise your hands if you're trusting God for children one day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bongani, may the Lord bless you when you get married. So I'm also in the right company this morning. Amen. So God has something to say about how we raise kids. And I think one of the problems we have in our communities and in our societies is that we are having children who are not being raised properly. And yet God has put in place principles and wisdom to raise children. Now, parenting, I want to say, parenting has become complicated over the years. In the past, it was a whole village involved in raising a kid. But now, I cannot trust the village to even greet my child. Because when I'm walking with my daughter down the street, I'm very conscious. I cannot just allow anybody greeting her. I can't even allow her to go out of the gate to go buy bread down the road, because she might not come back. But back in the days, we would walk kilometers to go and buy bread. And our mamas would be okay with that. Back in the days, the uncle down the road will smack you for walking in the road. And they'll take you to your mother, and your mother will give you some more. Huh? That's how kids were raised. So the whole community was involved in raising children. But today we cannot do that. Back then, children were mostly relying on their parents for input and wisdom. Whereas today, parents have to compete with TikTok. Parents have to compete with Instagram. Parents have to compete with friends at school. I don't know about you, but teachers at school have got such a huge influence on our children. Because you hear your child tell you, "But my teacher told me this." You're trying to teach the kid something, but but ma'am said this. So ma'am is more important than me now. But that's the reality. Well, my friends are saying this. As the kids grow, their friends tend to have a higher input in their lives than parents. The big question is, how do you raise kids in such an environment where the kids, within few minutes, they now know what is on top of the list over the globe? When they wake up in the morning, they now know what's trending. How do we raise kids in that environment? Allow me to say, the big idea when it comes to parenting is this. Write it down. Children are a blessing from God. Every person needs to understand that children are a blessing from the Lord. It doesn't matter even if your mom and your dad planned when you got conceived. It doesn't matter. It's an idea. No, children were an idea from the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 127, verse 3 to 5. Psalms 127, verse 3 to 5. The Bible says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. The quiver normally would have 12 arrows in the quiver. So all of you who have less than 12 children, you have not understood the plan of God for you. 12, guys, 12. You need a minibus to transport them to school. You need 3 bunker beds for them to sleep. Hallelujah. But the writer says, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Because something happens when you raise a child in the ways of the Lord. The Bible says, when you answer the enemies at the gate, you will not be put to shame. Why? You've got your 12 standing with you. Hallelujah. You've got your 12 praying with you. You've got your 12 tilling the fields with you. You've got the 12 protecting the house from the enemy. Blessed are you if you have 12. So what I'm trying to say, children are a blessing from God. They originate from God. They are to be treasured like you treasure a blessing from God. You see, knowing that a child is a blessing from God changes the way you relate to children. Instead of seeing children as a nuisance, you start treating them differently. You start looking at these little ones and like, oh, what a blessing from the Lord. That's why we need to be careful how we term our children. I've heard some people saying, hey man, I've got these 3 terrorists in my house. Have you heard them? Man, I've got these 3 terrorists in my house. Hey, man, I've got these rascals in my house. No, I've got these 3 blessings in my house. Glory be to God. You know, sometimes we adopt a lingo that does not confer a blessing on our children. You know, we might say it in a joking manner, but I want you to know that the spiritual world latches on words and uses words to impart things over our kids. That is why when you conceive a child and you are not happy with the conception, and for some time you are unhappy with the baby in the womb senses it. And that was bound to create problems on the child when the child is born because of that connection of what we say to our children. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Come on now. "And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." You were never an oops. You are a design from heaven. The Bible says here to Jeremiah, God was speaking to Jeremiah to assure him of his identity. Say, Jeremiah, I knew you. You were not a mistake. This is a loaded scripture regarding children. No child is a mistake. Every child was an idea of God for a purpose and a mission. You see, when God allows you to bear children, He is calling you to partner with Him to bring about a destiny. I want you to start thinking about it, that God looked at you and said, I'm going to trust you with what I want to bring on earth. I want to trust you. I want to partner with you. Can you come along and help me to bring about this prophet? To bring about this president one day? Glory be to God. Put this down. Raising a child should not be looked down upon, but to be considered as one of the greatest ministry you will ever embark on. I just want you to think about that for a moment. Raising children should not be looked down on, but whenever you are pregnant, you have embarked and the Lord has trusted you with the greatest of ministries. Why? Remember in Psalms 127 says, children are a blessing from the Lord. Blessed is the one who has them in his quiver like arrows. What children do, they go beyond us. When you shoot an arrow, that arrow will go beyond where you are. You don't know where that arrow is going to hit. Do you know that a lot of mothers are under pressure to go and work in corporate? Because generally society looks down upon mothers who are at home. Society looks down upon fathers who are at home. As if raising a child is something that is menial. As if raising a child is something that is not as important as sitting in a boardroom somewhere down the road. But the Bible says, before I formed you, I knew you. I consecrated you a prophet to the nations. Now I'm allowing your mother to raise you to become that. No prophets are raised in boardrooms, but prophets are raised in our homes. Glory be to God. Pastors are raised in our homes. Hallelujah. The next business person is raised in your home. Right now, mom, you don't know what you're holding in your hands. You don't know. Now, the question is, are you going to answer to the call to raise children the God's way? Because I want you to understand, the same way that God is looking at your child and saying, I've deposited things in this person, there's a devil out there who knows what God will do someday. He messes up with your child right now. Let's go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139 from verse 13. The Bible says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Other version says, I am complex. I am a complicated machine. They can try and design all of these AIs and robotics, but nothing can become a human being. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you comprehend how complex you are, how beautiful you are, how awesome you are? He says here, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of my earth, in my mother's womb, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. People of God, when you are with child, you are embarking on the greatest ministry of all time. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is trusting you to help this child to walk the thoughts that he perceived before the child was even born. Now, let me say this here from a very, I'm sensitive about it, but I want to bring a point. Many parents struggle to accept the realities of raising a child who is challenged in one way or the other. I cannot say I understand what parents go through in those situations. I cannot say I fully comprehend the challenges that they're going through, the pain and the sorrows. But mom, I want to say this to you. There is a purpose to the situation you're carrying. This scripture tells us that your child's frame was not hidden from God whilst it was still in your womb. The Lord knew. The Lord understood what was going on there. The doctors only got to know it after they'd done some tests and some observations. But Father God says, I knew you. Your unformed body, I knew it. I knew its state. I knew how it was going to come out. Glory be to God. It's difficult to comprehend this. But if we can find ourselves in that truth, it will give us the grace and the ability to fight through our situation. The beauty of life is that God has ordained the days of every child. He has ordained the days of every child, and He recorded them before one of them became a reality. One day, a blind man was brought to the attention of Jesus. And an important conversation happened, which can help us, parents, to endure our situation from an understanding of what God is doing. Glory be to God. And this will help us to deal with difficult situations. John chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible says, and passing by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. He saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned? Because that is the natural conclusion. That if something is not right with my child, there must have been something that happened. A sin might have occurred that resulted in this condition. Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be revealed in him. If we are to endure our situations, we need to believe that scripture, that the works of God might be revealed in her. Because we might end up asking, what type of a God would allow this? I'm sure those parents were asking that question. But there was an appointed time for this man to see the works of God in his life. And allow me to say this morning, there is a purpose for every child. And it is for us parents to allow that purpose to play out. We must not put our fears and anxieties on our little ones to the point that they are not able to live out the destiny that God has for them. For the blind man, the purpose was for God to be glorified. We don't know how old this man was, but he was a fully grown man, which means maybe he was 30, 35, 40, and there he was. Another thing that we need to understand is that Jesus has a deep love for children. Jesus loves children so much, and he wants us to love them the same way. Jesus did not see children as a nuisance, but rather as needing his undivided attention. And I want to ask you a question this morning. How much undivided attention are we giving to our children? You know, we can be present, but absent. You come from work, instead of looking your child straight in their eyes, you are looking straight on your phone. Even when he's eating, when you're eating on the table. The child is talking, but you cannot hear the child talking. But the Lord Jesus gave full attention. Go to Luke 18, verse 15. And the Bible says, and they also brought infants to him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw, they rebuked them. That was the culture of the day. Children are only to be seen and not to be heard. Children cannot be found where elders are. You know that situation where your kid comes and you kick them out. Why? Because they're older people. They rebuked them. Verse 16, but Jesus called them and said, allow the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus did not see them as a nuisance. He did not think he was too busy for them. He said, I need them. Let them come so that I can minister to them. The Bible says they sat on his lap. And from then he gave them a powerful teaching. He says, you see this one sitting on my laps? If you are not like this one, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Children are very sensitive. Children are very open in the spirit. That is why we cannot wait for these ones to grow old before we teach them the things of God. Do you know that witches and witchcraft is done on kids? And you wonder what happened to the kid. You open the child to witchcraft. But we don't open our kids to prayer. I want to challenge the church today. There's no kid who's too small to be exposed to prayer. There's no kid who's too small to be exposed to the Bible. In fact, when they're still in your womb, read the word of God to them. Come on now. Now, having this type of view about children will change the way we parent. It will force some of us to scale back on our lifestyle in order to spend more time with them. Because these days, there's this black box, one of the greatest parents you can find. You don't want to spend time with the kids, chuck them in front of the TV. And they're sorted. And you start hearing the kids swearing and behaving in a funny way. Where did you get this? I never taught you. Ah, the other parent you delegated authority to call the TV taught them. Do you know that even some of these animated movies, animated cartoons, they are busy throwing in their certain ideologies to make our kids numb to what God sees as marriage? How can a transformer be bisexual? How can a transformer come and I don't get that, but that is what our kids are watching every single day. And then one day your child finds it normal to be attracted to same-sex people because they were normalized and cultured by a Transformer movie somewhere. I'm not saying that's what the Transformer is doing. I'm just giving that as an example. Please get me right. But you know what I'm talking about. Now, let's try and see how much we can dig today. I want to take you through a number of principles. One principle that stands at the top of the pile when it comes to parenting God's way is communication. It's basic, but without communication, it's like breathing without air. I want you to realize that communication to your to a relationship is as oxygen to your lungs. It's how important, that's how important communication is. So the first principle I want to share with us today is you need to be effective in your communication. Effective communication in raising children. I want you to know that you know what Father God expects from you, don't you? Because Father God has put it out to the open for everybody. The Bible says his law was written in their hearts. He says, I will put my law in their hearts that they might know what is right and what is wrong. Father God has revealed to us what's on his heart. And I want you to realize he is calling you and I to effectively communicate with our kids. I mean, how often have we barked instructions like, jump off the couch, pick up the rubbish, stop being mean to your brother. I told you to listen and there's no response from the kid. So like, can you hear me? Can you
Can you hear me? I've told you, don't sit on the couch with shoes. Can you hear me? Don't play soccer in the house. But nobody seems to be paying attention. The problem might not be with the child. The problem might be with us, where we fail to communicate effectively. Does somebody hear me today? Put this down. You need to master the art of clarifying expectations when communicating with your children. Clarify expectations. I want you to realize today that children thrive when parents have clear expectations for behavior. When parents are quite clear of what they should do. You know, effective communication, really, it's verbal speech or any method of relaying information that is done in very simple terms. It must not be confused. You will not watch TV after 8 p.m. Tomorrow he comes, like, but mommy, okay, today you can watch until 8:30. Oh, mommy, today, only today, 9 o'clock. Who is the parent here now? Please tell me, who is mama, who is papa here? Huh? You told them, in this house, only we eat at the table. And then tomorrow, like, hey, mommy, Man City is playing. Can I just watch from the dining room or, you know, like, just today? You are not being clear. You wonder why they keep on breaking it when you are not there. Like, guys, how long were you watching TV today? Well, ma'am, 9 o'clock. But what did I say to you? They're confused. You have broken your own rules. Now, how do we go about effective communication with our little ones? How do we go about that? One of the things that I've found to be important is this. We need to establish values that shape behavior in the house. Establish values. Praise the Lord, Brother John. Hallelujah. You've got to establish values. These are beliefs, these are ideals that are shared in the home. These are beliefs that you hold on to dearly. You see, values have a major influence on a person's behavior and on a person's attitude. When our kids were still small, one of the things that we taught them was 7 o'clock bedtime. You know, at the beginning they cried, they did not like it. I'll hear them crying, like, you stay in there, you cry yourself to sleep. Cry yourself. So don't feel sorry for them when you are establishing rules. Cry yourself to sleep. And that worked so much for us because we all knew after 7 o'clock, she is mine. And I'm hers. In other words, we've got time. Instead of these young ones running around, as about instead of these monsters running around. You know, you get cultured, man. Like, instead of these blessed ones running around. Okay. Now we have a different type of problem. They want to be in the bedroom. They knock, da-da-da, they come, and they sit on the couch. Like, guys, what are you doing here? Can you just leave us alone? And they're there as if they're not hearing you. But I'm saying today, you've got to have values as a family. Because defined values come handy when it comes to ensuring that you are heard when you give instructions. If there's no benchmark, if there's no starting point, how do you expect the young one to hear you? For a Christian family, our values should be anchored in the Word of God. Let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That's a value. If you think about it, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand,
and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. When you rise up, teach them the values. What do you value as a family? How much do you value prayer? How much do you value the word of God? How much do you value respect? How much do you value I am sorry? How much do you value I love you? How much do you value no screaming and tantrums? Right? You've got to define these values to the extent that write them down. Write them down. Do they know if they can see them, it anchors those values. And today, because we are part-time parents, we don't have time for that. We don't have time to write down and even discuss. The older your kids are, the better it is. You can converse with them, and they must agree to this whole process. It's too much work, isn't it? Too much work. But I can tell you today that when you get it right, your children will feel more secure because they know the boundaries. Do you know that the fence you put around your house looks like very restrictive, but your child feels very safe as long as they're this side of the fence? The moment they go out of that gate, they feel not safe. The same thing applies to values. Values create a boundary where your kids understand, this is how far I go. If I go beyond there, I'm violating something and it's not safe for me. Now, it's one thing to write down, I am sorry. It's another thing to go down to a five-year-old and say, my boy, I'm really sorry. I lost my cool with you. What am I talking about here? You've got to live out your values. When, as the older of the compatriots, you've got to live them out. They must be able to hear you saying, I am sorry to their mother or to their father. Or I'm sorry to their siblings when you've done something wrong. And that ingrains the value. Does somebody hear me today? I want you to realize something to you fathers. If your children cannot see something of God in you, your children will struggle to see something of Father in God. This applies to everybody, to any authority figure. If your young ones cannot see something of God in you, they will struggle to see the love of the Father in God. And that is why they struggle to relate to God as Father God. That's why it's important for you to live out those values. They need to see you praying. They need to see you fasting. They need to see you studying the word of God. They need to see you exercising your body so that you are healthy. Come on now. They need to see you saying to yourself, I cannot eat this chocolate bar. I've just had enough. Guys, we've had enough. Don't be that mother who keeps on digging into this cookie jar until it's finished. They come back home like, Mama, what happened to the cookies? Lead by example. Lead by example. Hallelujah. It's not easy, this thing of parenting. They are watching you all the time. All the time. Another issue. When it comes to raising kids and communicating, you need to anchor expectations in day-to-day life. You see, without realizing it, we can easily expect our children to be super kids. Perfect kids in whom there's no mess. You think your kid is a superman? No. You must anchor your expectations in a day-to-day setup. They will spill things. Therefore, pick your battles as a mother. Don't feel embarrassed when they cry. Don't lose it when they stumble over themselves or when they put their pens outside in. You know, when they wear their pens front back. Don't feel embarrassed. They're just being kids. So keep your expectations anchored in reality. And from time to time, anticipate mistakes. Mistakes will happen. Have you ever been to a restaurant? Your kid is just being a kid. But the next table is getting so annoyed by your kid. I mean, he's not throwing off towels and plates. He's just being a kid. What do you do? Do you confine and tie them to the chair? Or what? Kids are kids. Another aspect, you need to have a healthy view of what is normal behavior in every stage of growth. You see, there are things that clumsy 3-4-year-old do. They just do because they're still trying to find their balance. Okay? So we often overestimate the ability of our children to have self-control. We often overestimate their ability to keep their emotions in check. No, they are kids. It's normal for a 2-year-old to get upset if he doesn't get something that he wants. It's normal, okay? It's normal for a 3-year-old to lose it when there's a change in their bedtime routine. You see, you've got the kids, they've got a routine. I don't know if you've been there where they're visiting you and the kid gets restless at 3 p.m. because they normally sleep at 3 p.m. Okay? It's normal for a 12-year-old to be moody. It's normal for a teenager to be irresponsible once in a while. So whenever those things happen, you've got to ask yourself, is this total disobedience or is just being a normal child? It is important for us as we parent our children to allow them to be children. Let's allow them to be children. Even Father God allows us to be children. He allows us to mess around. That's why he says, come, let's talk. We'll fix you up. Glory be to God. Another issue, expectations must be preceded by relevant training. How do you expect a child to know how to make up their bed if you haven't trained them how to make the bed? You've got to create room in your heart for the odd surprises when they fail at certain things. But the key issue here is kids need to be trained. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child the way he should go. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children ought to be trained because they are born with a nature inclined to sinning. So we train our children to forgive. We train our children to say, I'm sorry. We train our children to pray. We train our children to read the Bible. Glory be to God. Children are born without knowledge. Everything that they have right now at a certain stage is what you have deposited or what the box has deposited. Does somebody hear me today? So training children is one way of building up their work ethic. So there are some parents who will not allow their children to raise a broom. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, not in our house. In our house, they're being trained. So, allow me to say training a child is different from abuse. So, our training must be age appropriate and must still ensure that they enjoy their childhood. Otherwise, you'll be accused of child labor. Child labor. I grew up in an agrarian community where grade fours would go to the fields with their hoes. I don't know whether that was training or it was child abuse. But anyway, we grew up in that environment. I grew up in an environment where 8-year-olds would go to the river to fetch water with their buckets. I don't know whether that was abuse or not, but they did not die. And they're doing very well wherever they are. Glory be to God. So how do we train children? Very important, briefly, I'm running out of time. But we need to give them age-appropriate chores to accomplish each day. As they grow older, you up the gears. You up the tempo. And when they get to the age of 13, 14, you start saying to them, look, I'm not going to wash your underwears. You're going to clean your own underwears. You're going to fix yourself up. Does somebody hear me today? I grew up in an environment where my mother, we had somebody helping us at the house. And my mother would say to us, guys, I want you to understand something. Auntie is here to help me, not to help you. You fix your own rooms. You clean your own rooms. You pick after yourself. When auntie comes, it's to help me, not to help you. I don't know, mothers, if you do that. There are times where your children is so messy that you walk in that room, you're like, I'm not going to allow auntie to come and see this. I'm going to just tidy up a little bit. Age-appropriate chores. Encourage them to take initiative in helping beyond their chores. I'm talking about raising kids God's way. Now, when you look at God, God trains us in different ways. God allows certain things to happen in our lives as the day-to-day process of training us. Sometimes prayers are delayed in order to grow our faith muscles. Sometimes answers don't come as quick as we want them in order to develop our character. This morning, I want you to know, don't be a different parent from your Father God. Sometimes you need to delay certain gifts in order to build character in the life of your kids. Very, very important. Now, when and how do we correct? When and how do we correct? Allow me to say that sometimes we want to take pain away from our kids. You see, your heart sinks when they cry or when they are sad, doesn't it? It's painful. It's so nice. The reality is that missing the mark is ingrained in their hearts. Children will mess up. There is foolishness ingrained in kids. We have a responsibility of taking that foolishness out. And sometimes it goes beyond words. Is somebody hear me this morning? You see, the pattern of correcting is clearly set out by God, the Father himself. Go with me to Proverbs 3, verse 11. The Bible says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke. Why? Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. So when you delight in your child, you are prepared to do certain things within the bounds of love in order to correct them for their own good. So you find that when a child was not corrected when they are young, the behavior grows as they grow. Then you wonder why somebody is always moody when a no answer is given to them. It is because when they were young, they were allowed to be angry when a no was given. And then they will receive whatever they wanted, manipulating us as parents. Again, who is the parent? You or the kid? So God disciplines us for a number of reasons. He disciplines us because he is faithful to us. He is faithful to the calling in your life. He is faithful to his desire to be with you in heaven one day. That is why he corrects us. So when we correct our children, we are being faithful to them. We are not relegating our responsibilities as parents. Sometimes I really think that as parents, we are dropping the ball by not correcting certain behavior. Sometimes you find that you come for Ignite. How often do you find that some of our kids are there in the mother's room there playing stuff? Where are they going to learn how to pray? We've got to be able to pull them out and say, you're going to sit next to me. You'll see how we pray. You'll hear how we pray. Before you know it, she catches on. And I've seen some kids here catching on their father's and mother's style of worshiping. Why? They would have observed. So I want you to understand this morning that we need to train our children because we owe it to them. There are many people who can tell you today that I wish my mom was more stricter with me around this matter. Because I grew up crippled. I grew up disadvantaged because I was never taught how to cook. I was never taught how to prepare something on the braai. And now I'm a married guy. I don't know how to put on a fire. Dude, what's going on? I used to see my dad doing it, you know, but I'm a 2000. So God disciplines us because he wants to impart knowledge. Because he wants to impart information that you might think is not important today. But as you grow older, you see what God was depositing over the years, you actually need it. The same thing applies with us. I remember talking with my kids, going to school with them, concerning the apology conversation. So we're talking about when you apologize and say to somebody, I am really sorry. Sometimes your sorry is not good enough if it's not accompanied by restitution. By making amends to what you'd have done. So I gave them an example. I say to them, think about somebody, I give them my car. And then in the parking lot, they scratch my vehicle on the pillar of the parking lot. They come back to me and say, hey, Pastor M, you know, I'm really, really sorry. Look, I scratched your car. I'm very, very sorry. You know, as a pastor, I would say, okay, no, that's okay. That's all right. Okay. In my heart, I'm hoping that this person is mature enough to know it's going to cost me to go repair that vehicle. So when you say I'm sorry, on certain things you must say, you know what? I'm going to send you some money to repair the car. Or I'll give you money towards access for your insurance. What are you doing? You are teaching the child a very powerful principle. It then happened one day that my son was playing soccer at school with his friends. He then kicks the soccer ball over the fence of his friend. Boom! There it went. You can't go fetch it. He comes back home and says, Dad, something happened at school. I kicked my friend's soccer ball across. Can I please go and buy and give him back his soccer ball? And I said, oh, that's really good. Do you want me to pay for the soccer ball? No, from my own account. We went to Macro. From his bank account, he purchased a soccer ball and went to school and gave his friend the soccer ball. What is it? We are teaching this young man to understand it's not good enough to say to your friend, sorry, man, I kicked your ball over the fence. So what? Values. Values, very, very important. Now put this down. Love plus discipline equates to happy, functional children. Love plus discipline equates to happy, functional children. Don't try to discipline your children when visitors are there. They are embarrassing you because you haven't been teaching them all along. You say to them, you're embarrassing me now. No, ma'am, you haven't taught them. Because if they knew, they wouldn't be doing this thing here. Glory be to God. So correction that is correctly applied builds the child's esteem. The child feels more secure and happier. The enemy wants us to think that when they are all happy and it's free for all and they take plates into their rooms, it's all good. No. The moment they understand that my mom loves me so much, they feel like this is the place I need to be. Glory be to God. Just give me another 5 minutes, then we'll be done. Now, when it comes to correcting, you need to create capacity that enables correct behavior. So, never punish for something a child did not know was wrong. To do that would be unjust. Never punish your child for something they never knew. It is so important to differentiate between childishness and defiance. Do not punish your child for being childish. Punish them for defiance. So, so important for you to understand the difference between defiance and childishness. Were they in total disobedience, or it's being a child? Differentiate the two. Another issue, you need to exercise appropriate and relevant punishment. Okay? Appropriate and relevant punishment. Don't burn the house in order to kill an ant. Do you see where I'm going with that? Don't burn the house in order to kill the ant. No, it's an ant. Look for a broom. Look for a shoe. And just hit the ant. Don't burn the house. So it must be appropriate. You need to look at the infringement. Just like traffic laws. If they catch me doing 160, they throw me into prison. She must come and bail me out. If they catch me doing 60 in a 40 zone, they say, hey, but 200 rand. It's all relative. And you as a parent, you need to be able to say a big wrongdoing should be met with more stringent punishment. Could it be 2 weeks without the phone? Could it be a month without the Xbox? Could it be whatever it is? Okay? Now, let me say to you, I'm an old-time parent. Come on now. I believe in what the word says. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. So from time to time, I visit the rod. I use the rod of wisdom on the balm of foolishness. Just a little bit. Ha! Does somebody hear me today? You online, you can quote me and take me to police, but in my house, the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the kid. The Bible tells me again, the rod will take the foolishness out of the child. I can tell you today, there are some things that can only come out by the rod of wisdom on the balm of foolishness. The Bible backs me up. Now, in doing that, the Bible says, spare the rod. It does not say, spare the hand. You don't use your hand to discipline your child. Your hand is for blessing. That's why we lay hands upon the sick. So your child needs to see your hands as a source of blessing. That's why you need to have a few trees outside. Just a few trees. I grew up with a peaches tree that my mom would quickly, he's a I'm like, she's done with you. Go to bed. We'll talk tomorrow. So from time to time, as the Lord leads you, as the Lord guides you, allow the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. But one of the things that I know is never correct a child in rage. If you are in rage and you are angry with this little one, walk away. Go pray. Say, Father God, give me calmness. Give me wisdom. Then you call them. Say, do you know why I'm about to talk in this manner? What did you do wrong? Why is it wrong? Now, because there are values that were defined already, she now, I know I was mean to my sister. I was mean to my sister. Okay, what did we say about this? Because of that, I'm going to spank you 3 times. 3 times. I normally tell my kids, like, listen, guys, if you continue doing that, I'm going to spank you that you forget your name. Of course, I'm not going to do that. But I'm just talking about we need wisdom. So we don't correct our children from a place of rage. Otherwise, we transfer a different spirit to them. You see, when we correct our children, they still need to feel the love. So after you have spanked them and tomorrow he's asking for money for food at school, give it to them. Don't say to them, yeah, because of yesterday. No, yesterday is done. Let them know mommy has moved on. You know? So I'm saying here, yeah, we need to do it in love. And that is the only way we can raise children in God's way. We're going to continue next week. Next week is Victory Sunday. I'm going to continue and finish off, but we'll spend some time praying for our children. I want you to know the world hates children. The world wants children to abuse, to mess up with the future. So next week, please come. Bring your child. We'll make some time. We'll allow all the kids to come in here. We're going to lay hands on our children. We're going to join our faith together and pray for their future and pray for their well-being. Hallelujah. That what the Lord has prepared for them will not be stolen from them. So I want us to pray. Let's just pray in line with what we've learned today. And the Lord will help us.